Welcome to the Hips of Mama. I'm Thea, and I'm actually recording this episode a little after 3 a.m. I normally do the episode close between 11 p.m. and midnight, but I was in the middle of working on a few articles, so this is the main time that I was able to do it. So I'm gonna jump right into it. On tonight's episode, I'm just gonna talk about 20 things that I miss about my 80s childhood. I was born in 1981, so I spent a lot of my childhood in the 80s going into the early 90s. By the time the mid 90s rolled around, that's when I entered my teenage years. So I'll probably do a separate episode dealing with my 90s teenage life and what I miss about the 90s in a separate episode. But for tonight's episode, I'm just going to focus on the 20 things that I miss about my 80s childhood. So let's get started. The first thing I'm going to talk about, one of the first things that I really, really miss about my 80s childhood, but this is something I still consume even to this day, but it has its roots in my 80s childhood, and that's sugary snacks and breakfast cereals. I remember growing up, I would eat cereals such as Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, and I love the Honey Sugar Smacks, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Cap'n Crunch. So those were my favorite breakfast cereals, and I just enjoyed those so much. Also, I would eat a lot of the Now Later candies, the Jolly Ranchers, Starburst, and the Mamba candies. A lot of times, I would eat the Charms Blow Pops. Those were other candies. A lot of sugary stuff that a lot of us 80s kids remember, and there's just so many others. And so I would say, at the top of my list, that's one of the things that I really remember and miss about my 80s childhood is the abundance of sugary snacks, and in particular the fruity ones. Nowadays, I'm really heavy on the chocolate, and in particular dark chocolate candies now. So I think by the time I entered my teenage years, I went on a total chocolate kick, and nowadays I'm not that much into the fruity snacks nowadays, but in the 80s, when I was growing up as a little girl, I loved those fruity snacks. I loved all of the sugary stuff, the fruit roll-ups. So much is coming to mind right now. And of course, lots of sodas. And since I live in New Orleans, we would eat what was known as snowballs. And this was more like a frozen cup, but it came with a heavy amount of flavored syrup and ice and water. But just delicious. It's especially wonderful in the summertime. And so that's what I miss about, that's one of the things I miss about my 80s childhood, all the sugary snacks. So number two, another thing that I miss about my 80s childhood was that my life was not so digital, and I wasn't so connected all around the clock. I know there's a difference between life in the 80s and nowadays in the 21st century, where a lot of us millennials, we are connected all the time. Even when we're going to bed, we're listening to something on our phone. We might be watching a video. We use our phones for online banking. We have GPS on our phone and in our cars. We're just always connected. But one of the things that I miss about live growing up in the 80s is that we weren't always connected 24/7. We were disconnected from so many things that were digital. Yes, there were computers, and we did have TV, we had radio, and some of us are probably still young enough to remember typewriters and so on, but we didn't have the sense of always being glued to a device in the 80s. So I have here, so I'll just give some examples from my childhood. For the most part, my childhood was spent playing tag with friends, walking around the neighborhood, playing in the park that wasn't too far from my house, cooking really good meals at home with my relatives, talking on the phone, and not the cell phone. For those who didn't grow up in the 80s, there were no cell phones back then. It was the rotary phones, or it was the touch tone phones. Or it could have been one of the cordless touch tone phones, but it was not a cell phone for those who didn't grow up in the 80s, and there were no GPS systems to help me find anything. A lot of times in the 80s, if you got lost, you had to ask strangers. You had to go to the nearest payphone with this really big phone book and look up numbers, or you just had to catch different buses. If you lived in an area where there was a lot of public transportation, you had to find, you had to go old school as far as finding your way around. If you got lost, you were, in some cases, you may have had to go to the security officer at a mall if you got lost and had to go in an office or lost and found and try to and you had to memorize phone numbers. You had to write numbers down back then. There was no contact list inside your phone that you could just automatically call. It took a little bit more work to find people back then. So, but it helped us use our critical thinking skills. It helped us use our analytical skills. And some of that, I believe some of that has gotten lost today with everything being so connected and everything is just easily available to us through devices. So that's one of the things I miss about growing up in the 80s is that we were disconnected from so many things digital, and we were able to do things the old school way. If you were going on a road trip, you had to, a lot many times you would have to look at a map. You would have to like I said, no GPS, so you would have to look at things on the map to see where certain states were, certain cities and little towns and so on and so on. And another thing too that I want to discuss too is that kids back in the 80s, kids would play with their friends for hours after school, but our parents didn't worry so heavily about where we were, because at that time, especially a lot more during the 80s. Not, I don't know if that's how it is. I think nowadays it's a lot different, because nowadays we live in an age of helicopter parenting, as they call it, or over parenting nowadays. And I understand why some of that is why that trend is happening now due to terrorism and a lot of other different things, school shootings that are just happening constantly. So things have changed, and so I understand that. But in the 80s, parents didn't worry so heavily about where their kids were. I guess they did. They had concern. I'm not saying that they were not concerned at all. Obviously, they were, and they wanted to know where their children were. But there was a little bit more freedom in the 80s for 80s kids. If their kids played from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., maybe on the other side of the neighborhood or across the tracks and or somewhere, it wasn't a big issue. If as far as the parents were concerned, because they taught their children the street smarts, the life skills that were necessary to be able to make their way home. They may have taught them how to memorize certain phone numbers in case they got lost. So in other words, you didn't have this helicopter parenting that took place in the 80s. I would say the 80s was more a time of free range parenting, if you will. So that's one of the things I miss about my 80s childhood. You can actually play outside with your friends or visit their homes without having to worry about any severe danger. I guess there were dangers even back then, but I mean it's triple now. But at that time, during the 80s, not so much. A kid can play with their friends in a backyard. That also I would another thing that I remember is that I would see kids play in the middle of the street, but they knew that when a car passed, they moved out the way and they went back. Once the car passed, they went back in the middle of the street and played football. So I have a lot of memories of seeing that with neighborhood kids when I was growing up in the 80s. So it was just a time of just being carefree and so on. So that's one of the things that I miss about my 80s childhood. So that would be the second thing, is not being so connected, not being so glued to a device 24/7. Kids in the 80s found other ways to entertain themselves. They listened to the radio. They cook meals with their grandparents or aunts and uncles or their parents. They went to malls. They went to the arcades. They went to the park, they skated, they went bowling, they read books. And during that time, there was no Wikipedia, so if you had to go to the library if you wanted research. So it's just, I just think about all those memories. So number three, one of the things I miss about my 80s childhood is MTV and VH1, when they were playing real music videos, not all these crazy reality shows that we see now on both of those channels. I don't even bother to look at them anymore. It's crazy. It's just, I think VH1 and MTV has just become a hot mess, full of it's just become a cesspool of reality TV that is just really crazy and it doesn't make any sense. It's just silly. It's just nothing but silly reality shows that have a whole bunch of fighting on it and just a lot of drama on it. But that is not the same MTV and VH1 that I saw growing up. In the 80s, when I was growing up, when I would watch MTV and VH1, there was a lot of Madonna videos, Michael Jackson videos, a lot of the new wave era music from the 80s. You had Pat Benatar videos that were shown in heavy rotation, Van Halen, Pet Shop Boys. I mean, the list goes on and on. There were so many. My mom could tell me more about the groups because that was her era. That was really her era. And she to this day she talks about how she loves the 80s herself. If you were to ask my mom, she would tell you that she really loved the 80s. She really did. Now she was a teenager in the 70s, but she was a young adult. She's a lot of her adult years were in the 80s, and she loved that decade. She to this day she talks about it. But I have memories of watching a lot of the music videos with my mom. We would look at the videos, and she would sing some of them, and she would explain certain fashions of the some of the stars that were on the videos, and we at the times we would have snacks, and we'll just sit and look at all these different videos that came on. So that's another thing that I miss about my 80s childhood is watching quite a bit of MTV and VH1 music videos prior to the era of reality TV. And that came along in the 90s. But when I remember MTV and VH1 as a kid in the 80s, it was really about the music. It was really just about the music videos and not all the other craziness and foolishness that we see on those two networks now. So that was my third thing I miss about my 80s childhood. Now the fourth thing I miss about that is shopping at real stores. Now don't get me wrong, I love online shopping. I like the convenience of it. I like how we can shop using our phones and using computers, and I think those are wonderful things. Those were great inventions, and I'm benefiting to this day from it as a busy mom especially. But one of the things that I do miss about growing up in the 80s is that. Just to be able to walk in real stores to buy the things that you wanted. Just walking in the store and seeing an array of all your favorite things. Now, growing up, I was into gadgets. I when I was little, my mom gave me my first spell checker. That's when I first discovered discovered spell. But these were handheld spell checkers, but it also acted as a thesaurus, and you had to put batteries in it, and it was to this day I really enjoy those, and so, and I and actually I got my first spell checker from Radio Shack, so that shows I know I'm giving my age. I'm almost 40, by the way, but I remember going, the thrill of actually walking into the store to buy things as opposed to just buying all your stuff, just using a debit card and looking at a screen and then buying it. There's just something about walking in the store to get it. And some of the stores that I remember just off the top of my head is Radio Shack, Blockbuster. I remember my aunt renting a lot of videos from Blockbuster, and at that time we had the VHS tapes and a VCR. So there were at that time they weren't even DVDs. It was these bulky VHS tapes and these really big VCRs. So sometimes my grandmother would rent videos from Blockbuster. So I have a lot of memories of going to Blockbuster as a kid. Then there's Chi Chi's restaurants. Some of you might not remember Chi Chi's, but it was a Mexican restaurant. It was a chain of Mexican restaurants that was real popular in the 80s. I remember going there sometimes. Then there was Tower Records. I think that they finally went out of business around the early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. But throughout the 80s, they were really popular. These record stores, just about every city had a Tower Records, and just like I mentioned, in the 80s, there was no Spotify, there was no Pandora, there was no 24-hour music streaming. You couldn't look at music on YouTube. So what did we do? We went to record stores, and Tower Records was one of those popular record stores during the 80s. So I have a lot of memories of that. Also, Toys R Us and KB Toys. Back then, if you wanted some toys, you didn't order online. You went straight to Toys R Us and KB Toys, and maybe some of the independent toy stores in different cities that were locally owned. You may have gone in there to get your toys back in the 80s. So if you wanted that Cabbage Patch doll, a lot of times your mom would end up bringing you to the shopping mall so you can go to Toys R Us. In some cases, the Toys R Us wasn't even located inside of a mall. It was just a separate store. You just went in there and picked out the Cabbage Patch dolls, or the G.I. Joes, or the Transformers toys for those who were into Optimus Prime action figures. All of that came from Toys R Us or KB Toys. Also, I have memories of going to the shopping malls. I remember when I was little, right after Thanksgiving, my grandmother, my aunt, and I would sometimes hit the malls on Black Friday. Now, around the turn of the turn of the 20th century, going into the 21st century, we didn't do it as much. But when I was little, I do have memories of going to the malls early in the morning. Although we never camped out at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. just to go to the mall. We usually got there between maybe 7 or 9 a.m., but never at 4 a.m. That's we weren't that much of an early bird. But I do have memories of going to the mall, just waiting to see what kind of deals they had. And the mall that we went to, some of the malls still exist. Although there were some shopping malls that closed down in my city recently, or in a neighbor and also in neighboring areas just outside of my city. Some malls have closed down, which is sad, but. The mall that I would go to a lot, there was a Macy's, there was a Dillard's, you had a JCPenney, there was a Sears, and numerous others. There was a Claire's, and there was just a number of different stores, and then all within a few miles of each other, and just and you could just walk in this mall and just shop to your heart's content. And so that was the thing. That's how we did our shopping in the 80s as children. We were always at the mall. If you wanted to buy a new outfit for if you want to get an outfit for your daughter's first communion, a lot of times you went to the malls. If you wanted some more tennis shoes because your feet outgrew the other pair, you would go to the mall. Another memory I have too would be going to Payless. I know Payless is just about non-existent now. I mean, I can't even find one in my city. I guess they shut down. But I have memories of going to Payless. I would go to Foot Locker a lot of times to get tennis shoes. I would go to Woolworths. I don't think there's no more Woolworths, but I have memories of going to Woolworths as a kid in the 80s. And I'm trying to think of so many. And I think I remember is Walden Books. The bookstore, people had, they were actually real bookstores that you went to in the 80s. And so, yeah, those days are long gone, but I really miss shopping at brick and mortar stores. And that's one of the things I miss about my 80s childhood. And that brings me to a break, because I'm going to stop here and we're going to take a break. And I'm going to mention a few other things I miss about my 80s childhood. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. This is the Hipster Mama, and I'm going to continue with some more 80s childhood memories. So let's move on to the fifth thing I miss about my 80s childhood, and that was the Saturday morning cartoons. I wonder, do we still have that, at least on the local channels? And I know on cable that they still exist in the form of channels like Nickelodeon, and I think another one is Disney Junior, and some of the other cable networks, they still have their Saturday morning cartoons. But that's one of the things that I remember heavily as a kid growing up, were the Saturday morning cartoons. I definitely enjoyed those. Some of the ones that I remember watching were Raggedy Ann and Andy, Muppet Babies. That was my favorite, was Muppet Babies. I definitely enjoyed Muppet Babies as a child. Then there's Garfield, also Thundercats. Another thing I didn't add this here in my notes, but I also remember Transformers. But although I liked watching the whole show, I especially loved the theme song, especially the early 80s version. Now, by the time I hit the mid 80s, I was okay with the theme song that they did in the mid 80s, but I really liked the ones from the original theme song going back to 84. So it was really, really, I mean, I really enjoyed that. I would wake up and eat my breakfast cereal. A lot of times during our Saturday morning cartoons, my mom might still be sleeping because she worked there. She would come home at night and she wanted to get her extra rest on Saturday mornings. But I grew up in a multi-generational household. So my grandmother also lived with us, as well as my aunt and my dad and my brother. We all lived in the same house. Also, and also my late great grandmother as well. But
I remember Saturday morning. Sometimes my grandmother would fix breakfast, and she'll fix me breakfast, and I'll go in the front and just watch my Saturday morning cartoons before it's time for me to take a bath and get dressed and whatnot and get my hair combed. But I had a lot of memories of watching the Saturday morning cartoons. That was a hallmark of my 80s childhood. Also, I also want to mention this too, and I also watched a lot of Soul Train in the 80s. Actually, I look forward more to the Soul Train than I did the cartoons, because I just watching all the different people do those dance moves, especially the Soul Train line, and then seeing all the and then seeing all the different performers that I used that I would hear that I would listen to all the time on the radio. There's so many. There was I can name a few. Jeffrey Osborne and Shalamar. I'm trying to think of who else at the top of my head here, but there were so many. Anita Baker, Patti LaBelle, all these different 80s artists that would perform on Soul Train. So that was another show that I absolutely loved growing up in the 80s. And for those who are African Americans and they're millennials, they grew up in the 80s, they have memories of watching Soul Train. And so I wanted to toss that in too. I know that it dealt with, I know I was focusing on Saturday morning cartoons, but I also love to watch Soul Train as an 80s kid. And so, and speaking of, and while we're on the theme of TV, I also love watching The Cosby Show and A Different World. The thing I liked about these two shows is that it showcased some really good positive aspects of African American life. Now, not granted, some things that they showed on these two programs would be unrealistic in a sense. I know they do people gloss over things and they make things look really polished for TV, so I understand that as well. But overall, I really like the image that of blacks that were portrayed on those two shows. And so I just and not nowadays we because we would say the Huxtables, so some people always say, oh yeah, we're gonna watch the Huxtables. But in the 80s, and I even remember I even remember the night that would the weeknights that it would come on. It was always on Thursday nights. If I'm not mistaken, a Cosby Show would come on, and I think right behind that would be A Different World, but that was part of the Thursday night lineup. See I even remember the day of the week that it would come on. So I have a lot of memories of the Cosby Show in A Different World. I think right now you can catch the Cosby Show in syndication on TV One. So for those who are still interested in watching reruns of the Cosby Show, you can catch it on TV One. And there may be some other networks, I'm not sure, but I know I current right now I catch the Cosby Show reruns on TV One. And so and they show some of the reruns on that network on different days of the week. So that was number six. That was the sixth thing I miss about my 80s childhood. And number seven, 80s hip hop. There's just something about 80s hip hop that was very, very different from the I don't know what we want to call hip hop today. I would not call it hip hop. I just don't know what to call it. I'm not a big fan of 21st century hip hop. I just don't. I can't get into it. It's just it's to me it seems it to me today's hip hop sounds mindless compared to the hip hop of long ago, and that's just my opinion. I know there are some who disagree, but I just totally can't get today's hip hop, and that's probably because I grew up on a lot of the 80s hip hop. Now I will say this. As far as 80s hip hop goes, I was not into the standard hip hop pioneers that mainstream media likes to talk about, like Run DMC, Beastie Boys, LL Cool J. Those were not my favorite hip hop artists in the 80s. They really weren't. I know they were popular, and so on and so on. And I guess according to some experts, they were true hip hop pioneers. And I guess in a sense they were. But they weren't my favorite hip hop artists. They just were not at all. My the kind of hip hop artists that I liked, especially actually I liked a lot of the hip hop artists that were out during the mid 80s as opposed to early 80s. Although there were some I like from Funky Four. There was the I believe it's Treacherous Three. There were and then there was another one. There was a few other. Oh, and the Sequence. Actually, with Angie Stone, she was a part of that group, so I like some music from them. But a lot of the hip hop that I like really was from the mid 80s. So I like De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, Trying to think of some other those two I especially liked, and so I was more into I was more into those types of groups that came out with in Public Enemy, X-Clan, and so and Brand Nubian. So those were my kind of mid-80s hip hop groups that I got into. I couldn't do the whole Run DMC, LL Cool J, or all the ones that everybody talked about so much. And I never liked the Beastie Boys. I didn't care too much for their music at all. So, and oh, that's one other one that was out in the mid-90s, Third Bass. That was another one that I liked. And so I would say 80s hip hop, that when I thought hip hop was a lot better back then, that's what I miss about my 80s childhood. Definitely the 80s hip hop. Oh, another thing too. Now we're gonna move. That's the seventh thing. So now number eight is playing a lot of board games. In particular, Scrabble and Uno, and other cool family games. As a kid, I used to play Scrabble and Uno with my aunt. We spent a lot of Saturday nights playing Uno and Scrabble when she wasn't hanging out with her friends, because also on Saturday nights she'll be out with her friends and hanging out, and I will watch her while she gets ready. She'll put on her makeup, she'll get her bracelet, all the shoes she was gonna wear for her for hanging out with the friends, and I would just see her do, and that's all my mom do too. So I would see them both get ready for their nights out, but when she wasn't hanging out on Saturday nights, she would be would be home, and she would actually she turned on and she would listen to reggae music. She at the time she really got into some of the reggae music of the 80s. I mean, she liked some of the 70s reggae like Bob Marley, but by this time dancehall had gotten popular as far as a style of reggae, as well as dub. So a lot of dub, dancehall type reggae, and other offshoots of reggae music were popular during this time. You had Third World. There was, then I think at some point Dennis Brown branched off and went solo. You had, I'm trying to think of that. Oh, but Black Uhuru, those reggae groups. So these reggae groups were popular in the 80s. And that's another thing I miss about my 80s, by the way. I'm thinking about I just have so many memories. So I remember the 80s reggae as well. So anyway, my aunt and I will play Uno and Scrabble. And the thing about Scrabble, I like that better than I did Uno. I guess because I'm a grammar person, and I'm a natural writer, and I've always liked reading dictionaries and encyclopedias as a kid too. So and also with Scrabble, I just learned all kinds of words because my aunt would form these different words and I didn't know they were words, and I would look these same words up in a dictionary. So I just definitely enjoyed Scrabble. I love to form new words, and there's times when she'll beat me, or sometimes I'll beat her. Now I will admit, at times as a kid, I would be a sore loser and I would get upset, but as a kid, sometimes we do that. But overall, I had so many memories of playing board games, and it was just amazing. I just love playing those games. And that's the thing nowadays, that we're now so used to playing our games online, playing Candy Crush or some other digital game. But the games that really taught you how to think critically, that taught you new words, that really made you think, were actually the board games, and even some of the card games, like Pictionary. You had Trivial Pursuit during that time. There was Twister, where you had to where you were required to have some kind of, physical activity was required for Twister. And there were so many. There was Clue. There was Life. There was Monopoly, teaching about money, and just, but in a fun way. And so with games like that, I think we need to bring a lot of those games back for our children, so they won't be so glued to the screen, and where they can play games that taught actual life skills and that actually made them think. I think we need to get back to board games. I really do. We need to get back to old school games. And so that's one memory that I'll always have about my childhood, is playing these kinds of board games and card games as well, like Uno. So that's number eight. And number nine, one of the things that I really miss were the cheesy TV commercials from the 80s. If for those, for anybody who anyone out there who grew up in the 80s, if you were a kid or if you were a teenager in the 80s, you remember a lot of those cheesy commercials. One that comes to mind and it still makes me laugh today is the Zest soap commercial. The one where they're singing, "You're not fully clean unless your zest fully clean," that kind of thing. I still remember that jingle even to this day. And actually, a few weeks ago, I looked at a commercial of Just for a Good Laugh, and seeing the men get out to see whoever the actors were taking a shower and then getting out. It was and opening that towel, saying, saying you're not fully clean unless you're successfully clean. So that was so funny. Another thing that was another kind of commercials that were so funny in the 80s were the fast food commercials, like McDonald's and Burger King. Then there was the Coke commercials that were so funny. So it is, and I still think about the Mad Max commercial that was out in the 80s too. And one that's and one now this one I would call this a funny commercial, but it was really interesting. But were the radio phone commercials? I think I believe with the radio phone, it would show these men carrying these really bulky phones, but they were cordless, and I guess it was a precursor to the cell phones that we have now. But it was just funny, a little funny when I saw it at the time, the radio phone commercials. And so that's another thing that I remember about the 80s, were those really funny and cheesy TV commercials. And so that moves, and so now I'm going to move on to number 10, and that is the typewriter. I know if we would have talked to those who are from Gen Z and any younger than that, they if you talk to them about a typewriter or show them a typewriter, they probably look at you like you were they probably look at us like we're silly. But as a kid growing up in the 80s, I definitely remember the typewriter. My grandmother had a typewriter. My late grandmother, she had a typewriter, and she would type just about anything and everything that had that. If it was a document, a business letter, anything like that, she would type it on her typewriter. I remember as a kid, I would pass through her room, and I would always, and I could tell when she was typing something, because if for those who are familiar with typewriters and you grew up with them, you're very familiar with the ching 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 sound, and you knew somebody was typing, and it was just so it was just great to see. And also, I received a typewriter as a present in the 80s, but it wasn't the same kind that my grandmother had. It was a more modern version, but it was still a typewriter. I remember having to buy. I remember just when I was typing, I messed up. I had to just take the paper out, start all over. Because at that time with typewriters, there was no such thing as an automatic spell checker. You didn't have Grammarly. There was none of that. You did not have that with a typewriter. You had to really pay attention. You had to. You couldn't get distracted by your TV shows while you were trying to type something on the typewriter, because if you did, you messed up, and you would have to start all over, which would be a pain in the neck. So that's another memory that I have from the 80s, is seeing my grandmother type on her typewriter, and also doing a little bit of myself when I received it as a present. That's the 10th one. So that brings me to number 11, and that is Reading Rainbow. Remember the song, "I can be anything, something like a butterfly in the sky, touch I can go twice as high." Yes, I definitely remember that theme song still after 30 something years. And LeVar Burton really made reading appear fun. He really did. He would recommend all these different books, and at the time I was definitely a bibliophile back then. I enjoyed reading whatever I could get my hands on, and I loved going to the library. So sometimes when I would see his show and see certain books, I and that he would recommend, I would, next time I went to the library, I would look for those same books. And so Reading Rainbow really was an influential program for a lot of us 80s kids. It really promoted the love of learning, and it talked about the importance of reading, reading the printed page. Not supposed to now. A lot of people have e-books now, and we have Kindle readers at this point, because this is a digital age. I get it, but there's just something about reading actual books. Even right now, in a room where I'm recording, on one side of me right now, I'm looking at. I'm still. We still have the World Book Encyclopedias from the 70s that my grandmother bought, along with a ton of books. I mean, right now, the room that I'm recording in, on the shelf. Each shelf is filled with books, and that's because my late grandmother loved books. She was a really she really loved the she really loved books. She loved reading everything, and in particular the Bible. That was a primary book that she read. But in addition to that, she read magazines. She would read newspaper. She would read interesting newspaper articles, and she would show them to me, so I can look at them. So her life was filled with books, and so that was passed along to me. When I was growing up, I loved reading encyclopedias. And by the time I was a teenager, and when I at the high school that I went to, my favorite during recess, my favorite place to go was the library, not the playground. I would when lunch when everybody let off for lunch, I just went straight to the library, and I would just read encyclopedias. Then I would take out my notebook and start writing down the things that I read in my encyclopedia and just take notes, and just for the sake of it, just take notes. And so that's one of that was I have a lot of memories of just having a love of reading, and I really do believe a lot of it had to do with me becoming a writer later on in life, just from being surrounded by a love of reading from my late grandmother and just enjoying books altogether. And so, with that said, we're gonna go through another break, and I'm gonna mention a few more 80s memories. All right, welcome back. This is a Hits to Mama, and we're gonna finish up with my 80s childhood memories. And so we left off at Reading Rainbow, so now we're gonna go into number 12, and that's some of the and one of the things that I miss about that time was a lot of the old school life skills that I was taught, especially the way that I was taught math skills in the real world. I have memories of my mom showing me how to write out a check, how to use a checkbook, and how to figure out how much change I would get back whenever I went to the store, and just how to figure that out in my head. Also have memories of my dad going through just teaching me the long division, multiplication. We did timetables. I remember learning that also in school, and I just wonder with in this age of Common Core, I don't know if that's still. I don't know. I don't know. See, obviously, it's been so long since I've been in elementary school, so I don't know if that's even being taught. I remember being taught cursive handwriting, and not just in school, but also at home. But my grandmother was a stickler for being grammatically correct. She was an English major. She taught English. She loved to write herself, and she loved books, as I mentioned in a previous segment. So she made sure that I. That I learned cursive handwriting and all kinds of different skills. I remember my mom teaching me a different recipe, showing me how to make everything from fried chicken to pot roast to just all kinds of different things that she would teach me how to make. And by the time I entered college, my college years, I was able to fit some variety of things on my own. And even though she was not a stay-at-home mom, she was a working mom. But what I really love about that time as a kid is it's just being taught those life skills directly from my parents and other relatives and my family. And nowadays it seems like a lot of those important life skills like sewing and just knowing how to deep clean your house, cooking a homemade meal from scratch. Fits in flat tires, just those a lot of those basic life skills. It's what my concern is that those who are my daughter's age, or those who are a little older than her or younger than her, might not learn those same skills because it seems like maybe those skills are not being passed down with this generation as it was when I was little. So, and that's something that I think about often. I think about, I just think about. How am I going to pass on some of the same life skills that I learned to my own daughter? Because I feel that's important. And this is not just about gender, not really. I'm talking about boys and girls should learn how to do all of this. And it's just this over-reliance on technology that I'm seeing. And I have to catch myself with that too, to make sure that that's not something that I'm falling into. Because there's just certain things that are best done the old school way. That there really is. Yes, there's online banking now, and we have debit cards, we have ATMs, and I like the convenience of those things. I'm not gonna lie, I do like the convenience of it, but with it, but now we're living in a time when if a young person were asked to how to write out a check, they may not know what you're talking about, and that's something that we need to think about in this digital age. How can we still retain some of the old school life skills? Because I still believe that we it's important that we maintain a lot of those same basic survival skills, and not just toss some of that to the side just because we live in a modern age. So that's something that we all should be thinking about, especially those of us who grew up learning those important skills directly from our relatives. In what ways can we pass down those same skills to our children so that those skills won't die with us, that we can teach those same skills to our children? And so that's something that I just wanted to toss in there as I was thinking about my childhood as far as certain life skills that I was taught. And that includes street smarts. That includes just timeless advice about courtship, dating, and marriage, and even advice on child rearing. Within these past 4 years, I learned so much about child rearing from my mom. And of course, I added my own modern touch to it, but I learned a lot from her. I learned a lot from my grandmother. Actually, my grandmother, we right well, some years before she passes, when my daughter was still a newborn, she would talk to me about the importance of getting my daughter on a routine. And at the time, I dismissed it. I didn't know. I was thinking routine, but now that I look back on that, it is important. So just these skills, even parenting skills that we were taught from those before us, I let us hold on to those life skills. Let's hold on to any advice that we may have received from our elders around us, even if it's teachers. Let us hold on to that, because we never know when we're going to need those skills again. So something tells me that we will. There's going to have to come a time where we're going to return to a lot of those survival skills, and we don't want to just toss them out just because we live in a digital world. So that's all I wanted to say about that. So now we're going to move on to the next thing. And this is number 13. One of the things that I really loved about the 80s was creating my own mixtapes. And by that, I don't mean just mixtapes to distribute for a hip hop career. No, that's not that mixtape. But for those who didn't grow up in the 80s, there was a time when the main way you listen to music was on the radio, or you may look at music videos, but just for your own personal enjoyment on a regular basis, it was the radio primarily. And they used to have blank cassette tapes. Some tapes would last, but you can record 30 minutes worth of music. Then there were other cassette tapes where you could record up to an hour, maybe an hour and a half of music. So you can basically create your own mixtape. So really what that meant was, for a lot of us, what we did was we would listen to our favorite songs on the radio, and we would press play and record, and what happened was we would have a tape of all the songs that we liked from the radio, and we can listen to it. And if we got tired or bored, if we got bored with that mixtape, we can record right over it. It was just never ending mixtape. So that's one of the things I miss about my 80s childhood too, is that we can create our own mixtapes of our favorite songs. And of course, at that time, you had CDs, you had the Sony Walkman, all of that during that time. But I especially liked the blank cassette tape. I remember when I was even well into the 90s, in my teenage years, I would still buy blank cassette tapes. And just record music, just record songs that I loved on the radio that I kept hearing over and over, that I was really crazy about, and I was just and I'll just start I'll just hit the play and record button, and by the time the tape, and then when the tape was finished, it would make a pop sound like this. It would make a click sound, and that means you have to turn the tape over and then record the next side of so you can record the other side of music. And it was just great. And so actually, that's the thing about cassette tapes, and not just the mixtapes with the blank cassettes, but I'll actually go out and purchase cassette tapes from different artists. I still have memories of, actually, I wore out Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation album. I really did. I didn't buy the vinyl album. I bought it on cassette, but that was one of my favorite. She was one of my that Rhythm Nation album was one of my favorites to listen to in the mid-80s, and I literally wore that cassette tape out. I would play it and play it, and at one point all the little tape came out the cassette because I played it so many times, and so I have a lot of memories of listening to music on cassette tapes. So we're gonna move on to the next thing. So another thing that I miss about my 80s childhood would be all those TV programs. Now, some were a little more corny than others, but there's some that I really have memories about. One was The Equalizer, and then there was L.A. Law. Now, I have a lot of memories of sitting with my aunt, and we're watching L.A. Law. And I forgot what night it came on during the week, but I believe that I know If I'm not mistaken, it was on NBC. That was an NBC show. Then there was Hill Street Blues, Magnum PI, Star Search. I had a lot of memories of watching Star Search. Then there's Showtime at the Apollo, one of my favorites. So I just loved watching Showtime at the Apollo. Especially the part when a Sandman would come out and start booing certain people off the stage. That was a trip. It was just funny. And then there's so many other different TV programs, but there's too many to list for this podcast. So we're gonna leave it at that. But I really do have a lot of memories of those really good TV programs. There was other ones too. There was Mike Hammer. There was Jake and the Fat Man. Night Court. I didn't care too much for that show, but that's a memory that I have of it. There were so many. I mean, I think there was Webster, Alf, Cheers. I didn't care too much for that show, but I have memories of seeing it. And who can forget the Cheers theme song? So that's another memory I have from my 80s childhood. And so at number 15, arcade games like Pac-Man, and there was Super Mario, of course. And then there was the bumper car, well, not, the car racing arcade games and pinball machines. So just going to the arcade. Actually, my aunt to this day likes pinball machines. She even has a pinball game app on her phone where from time to time if she's waiting in line or doing something or waiting for, I guess, at the doctor's office from time to time, or we have to wait in the car, she'll play a little pinball game real quick. So my aunt loves pinball machine games to this day. And also at number 16, I mentioned this at somewhere at the top of the show, but I do remember the VH tapes and VCRs. Yes, I have a lot of memories of the VCRs. Actually, one of my favorite movies that I used to watch as a kid was The Color Purple with Oprah Winfrey, Whoopi Goldberg, and Danny Glover. And I would watch that movie frequently on the VCR because we had a VHS of it, and I kept watching it over and over and over. And I believe I did the same thing when I with the What's Love Got to Do with It, the movie with about Tina Turner's life. Angela Bassett starred in that movie. I believe that we had a VHS of that movie too. So I would watch that one a lot on a VCR. So I have a lot of memories of VCR, and my grandmother had Aesop's Fables and Gulliver Travels. So she had some of the cartoons a lot of times on the VCR, so we would watch that. And so and at times she would purchase a lot of sermons and VHS tapes from different pastors, some of her favorite pastors that would be on TV. So I would sit with her sometimes and watch VHS tapes or sermons at times. So I'm very familiar with the VCR and VHS tape. And at number 17, the Cabbage Patch Dolls and Barbie Dolls. Actually, I like the Cabbage Patch Dolls more than I did the Barbie Dolls, but those are memories I have there. There are other kinds of toys that I remember. To oh the Speaking of games, I know I mentioned games in another segment, but I also remember the Connect Four game. That was one of my favorites as well. So in addition to the Cabbage Patch Dolls and the Barbie Dolls, and at number 18, I have memories of the what we call a touch tone phones, and even a cordless phone. So I have a lot of memories of that. I still remember when I would pick up the phone thinking so I could call one of my friends, but then I pick up the phone, and my mom would be on the phone with somebody, and I end up hearing half of their conversation. It was a little eavesdropping there, but it's just fun memories like that with the old school touch tone phones, and of course the phone books. During that time there was no there was no Google, there was no Google Maps, none of that. So a lot of if we try to find information on different people, we were trying to locate addresses. There was a reliable phone book, so I still remember. Actually, one of my favorite things was to read phone books too. In addition to the encyclopedias, I know some people think that's weird, but I used to read through the phone books. I would look through all the businesses and look at the different area codes, and look at the different numbers and just look at the categories of businesses. One of my favorite things was to read through the phone books, and so I remember that as a kid. And at number 20, this is the last one, the floppy disk. Actually, I was using a lot. I would using those floppy disks all the way through my college years. Because when I went, by the time I got to college, it was 2000, 2001, and so this is a while before you had the USB drives and the little stick things that you can now stick on inside of your computers. But before that, it was the floppy disk. So if you wanted to save, and then the thing about the floppy disk, it wasn't a lot of space, wasn't a lot of storage space on these things, not nearly what we have now. With saving, now you can save your work to the cloud now, with Dropbox and Microsoft OneDrive, Google Drive, and all these different cloud services. That didn't exist in the 80s, so you had to use that little square floppy disk, and it felt kind of floppy too, now that I think about it. And with that said, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show where I talked about some of my favorite 80s childhood memories. Once again, this is the Hipster Mama. And until the next podcast, everyone have a blessed day.